This is Will's Band of the Week for October 20th, 2019. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am once again.
Yeah, welcome back. Last time you were live in studio, and now you can picture where I am in the empty, except for myself, fourth bedroom studios.
This is the surrealness of modern day jet travel.
Right?
I don't know if the human brain can cope with this.
What's more incomprehensible, the fact that we communicate instantaneously over a satellite thing, you know, or that, you know, just 2 weeks ago you were sitting right here and now you're across the ocean?
Yeah, but, I don't know. The second one, I think, is just more unbelievable.
Yeah, human travel. Well, I can tell you that where you were sitting, there's now a cat crate with a fancy cover that my wife made for it. But you know what? That leads to something we haven't talked about. In fact, let's do this.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
It's actually been a few weeks, but we never mentioned on the podcast the death of the studio dog, Alex.
Oh.
Kind of sad. He sat in on so many podcasts, you know. In fact, and he was the dog who started the whole squeaking door thing, and then Jeremiah sent me some oil to cure that. And so we miss Alex. And And I thought, yeah, let's give him the jingle. I think he was deserving of it in a positive way, of course.
Poor Alex, I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
I remember he was there when we did our New Order special.
Yeah, and he's been he was in kind of declining health for a few months. Had a bad heart, and he also had some problems with his hind legs, just kind of hobbling. But the heart is what eventually did him in. So lived a good life, really cool dog. And good studio buddy. So, R.I.P. Alex the dog.
It's very sad. You have plenty of cats there now running around.
Right.
That keeps your attention.
Yeah, we have an infusion of cats now. So, they kind of stay away from the studio usually, though. They're a little more independent. They're not quite as, you know. There's a reason they call dogs man's best friend. Cats are kind of their own best friend. But I still love cats, too.
I think cats prefer jazz, so they're not into the indie rock podcast.
That could be. They kind of have that kind of jazz vibe about them, don't they?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Even Casey the cat, he just prefers jazz.
Yeah, I think so. Right. let's see. We have so much stuff. Well, I know we have live reports. You've got a whole bunch of them. So time for the jingle. So I know you have a whole bunch of live reports. But I just have a short one, but let's just get mine out of the way first. So I went to a show last night at Indie Coffee in Madison, Wisconsin.
Indie Coffee.
Yeah. Is that cool or what?
The coolest place. Well, the Red Zone across the street, that's kind of the coolest place in Madison, but the second coolest.
Yeah. Right. 38 Special has never played at Indie Coffee. Actually, they haven't played across the street either, but we keep saying that they should. Jim, this is here's a great little trivia item. When you might remember when Barrett and I went to see 38 Special at the casino. It's probably, what, 4 years ago now or something?
Yeah, you've mentioned it generally every week since then.
Yeah, it's just a lifetime experience that we're just never going to forget. But when they came to town, there was a huge billboard on Regent Street, the street where Indie Coffee is. There was a giant 38 Special billboard advertising it, and it was up there for, I don't know, a couple weeks at least beforehand. So it's kind of the whole area was kind of in a you know, anticipation of 38 Special kind of vibe for quite a while. You could just tell it just felt a little different around here for a while. So I wanted to mention that. But last night, Jason Anderson, folk singer, I guess, you know, the general category, folk singer, extraordinaire. He's probably been the artist who has performed at Indie Coffee more than any other artist. It's too bad we don't have Barrett here to give a better history, but it's the third time that I have seen him at Indie Coffee, and he's been there at least one other time and maybe two. And they actually even have a poster of Jason Anderson that I didn't realize till last night when JJ pointed it out. But they've got a poster of that an artist made depicting him up in the shop too. And he's just great for the small venue coffee shop setting. He plays a lot of living room shows and stuff like that, and he's just really, really great at it. He's kind of philosophical. I got my wife to go last night. She enjoyed it too, and I was telling her sometimes he sounds like a yoga instructor with like these philosophical statements. Like for one song, he told everybody to close their eyes, and we're all going to close our eyes, and then he just starts saying this kind of philosophical stuff. And it's the kind of thing where if you're not the personality to pull it off, it could backfire. But he's got it. So highly recommend Jason Anderson. So.
Is there a good crowd there?
Probably 20 people. And,
okay, so enough that it felt like, yeah, it didn't feel empty.
20 people in Indie Coffee is pretty reasonable. I mean, I think if they had an event that was really, you know, super high demand, they could maybe pack 40 or 50 in there. I don't know what the fire code says. but it was a solid 20. And I found out a little trivia item that his wife, I think he just got married within the last, maybe in the last year or so, it sounded like. She's a student at the same university where my son goes in Toronto, Ryerson. She's a grad student there. So pretty cool.
I had a question. And these shows at Indie Coffee, are they that have a small PA or is it unamplified?
Completely unamplified.
Oh, that's kind of, yeah, it can be more raw and personal that way.
I've seen another guy who's played there a few times is Chris Otepka, and he had a band called Troubled Hubble, and then he had another band called, what was that other band? There's a more recent one. I'm blanking on it right now. But he actually played with a full band there one time. And they might have had, you know, they had little small amps. Drums were not amplified, and it worked out fine. But Jason Anderson, that's one of the skills I think that is really notable that he has. He's really good at singing at different volumes and playing at different volumes. So he can sing and play really quiet, and he can just pound on the acoustic guitar and really project his voice. And the contrast between those two the volume levels is really effective. So he totally pulls it off. Yeah, pretty cool.
Sounds good. Yeah, I wish I was there. I can't believe I've missed him play Indie Coffee at least four or five times. I need to get my act together.
Yeah, we'll get you. We'll fly you out here for the next one. I think that's probably worth it. Yeah. All right, now for the major indie rock live reports, we're turning it over to Craig.
Did we have the jingle before or not?
Yeah, we did the jingle already.
Oh, did we? Sorry, I'm half asleep. I thought we did. Okay. Well, instead of going through these, I have a slew of live reports here, but instead of going through them chronologically, I'm not going to be a slave to chronology. I'm going to go through in order, in reverse order of how good they were, just to make things a little bit more interesting.
So you're going to lead up to the best one?
That's right.
Okay.
I could, yes, I think that's best, because people won't be interested to hear about the worst one once I've already done the top four, so they'll just turn off. Why would you want to know about the right. fifth best thing?
Yeah.
So, last Thursday, there's a venue in North London called the Tufnell Park Dome, and I was with Barrett there, actually. We saw Comet Gain a couple of years ago when Barrett was in London with JJ and Wilson. But sadly, it wasn't Comet Gain this time. This is the band from Dublin, The Murder Capital, who have... well, there's this kind of mini Dublin scene, and whoever, you know, I don't like it when people say, oh, there's a scene. It's kind of music journalist thing to try and group bands together when really they don't belong together. But there is a little emergence of bands from Dublin, Fontaine's DC, Girl Band, and The Murder Capital, to name three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're creating a little bit of buzz. Fontaine's DC are perhaps doing the best commercially, and the album's done quite well this year. And then the Murder Capital's album kind of came out a few weeks ago. It's quite gloomy, quite slow, extremely serious, and that's pretty much what the show was like. My friends are just raving about them, saying how great they are, the best live band around at the moment, catch them while you can. Didn't really feel that myself. It was incredibly serious, intense, immersive experience. The songs at the beginning were very slow, and it was sort of built up into more of a crescendo. It did get louder and better, but for me, I just wasn't looking for that kind of thing at that time. Certainly not jaunty, no melody, just serious.
Yeah, I listened to the album, I think at least twice, and that was kind of my impression of the album, that it's kind of slow and serious. Definitely has some good moments, and I think maybe if I just decided I was going to listen to it three more times, maybe it would start to sink in more, and then maybe you'd like them more live too, if you know, kind of immersed yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. It's either one of those things where you're going to say, this is great, I'm getting on board with it, or it's just going to pass you by. And for those who are getting on board, they're really enjoying it and finding something there. So,
yep.
But not for me. They're going to be at South by Southwest. Have we mentioned that we went to South by Southwest this year and we're going again?
I don't think we've mentioned that ever before, so we probably better talk about that some more. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have a chance to see them 8 or 10 times at South
right.
by Southwest, so
that's
maybe
right.
we'll report back.
Maybe on like the fifth time, we'll start to really like them.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
The day before that, this is the fourth best thing I saw recently, one of my old favourites, British Sea Power, were playing. This was actually in Hampshire, which is the county where I'm from, south coast of England, and this is in Portsmouth, an old school, cool venue called the Wedgwood Rooms. Most British bands you've ever heard of would have played there at some stage, and international touring bands. The Strokes have certainly played there, for example. I'd have thought other international bands on their first UK tour tend to play there. But this was, British Sea Power, as I said. Not the greatest, but still some good moments. And they road tested a few new songs. It's one of those in-between album, low-key midweek tour dates where the crowd was just considered, a bit of beard stroking, kind of just thinking about things. Not too lively, but, it's good. But better than the Murder Capital anyway.
It's like you're touching base with one of your favorite bands, so you've got to kind of keep tabs on them, right? But it wasn't like a highlight gig.
Yeah, that's right. I think they can do all kinds of things. On a Friday or Saturday night when everyone's had a few beers, they can really get the crowd going. But they're also kind of good now at this more sedate, just warm, mellow sort of sound. So it's perfectly fine, but not amazing, I would say. Okay, deep breath, and then we go on to number three. Now, this was fun. I actually went to Sheffield to see the gig the night before, which we're going to talk about in a second. But on Saturday evening, my friend said to me, oh, do you want to go to this small... It was a benefit show for a venue in Sheffield, which has had to be closed down, and they're angling with the council a little bit about the regulations and trying to get it restarted. And so there's a kind of punk venue, and they're raising money for it. And so four bands were playing. It was £5. But the thing I really liked, it said, no one will be turned away at the door for lack of funds. So it's kind of, very much the punk ethos there. And the first band was 9:15, and the final band was 11:05, and they played four or five songs each, four bands. It was just great. The room was so small that I texted you, Will, and said, the drums and the guitar setup and the mics taking up a quarter of the space.
it looked really tiny. Like, I think I said something about that. That looks like an intimate setting.
So there was, it's such a tiny room, and I was leaning on the bar, and there must have been about 30 people there, maybe, and the room was full. You couldn't, the bands were all there, of course, and you couldn't really fit any more people in. And, anyway, I could name the bands, but I don't know if there's much benefit in that. Anyway, they're all quite good. Just short, fiery, fun stuff.
So they weren't really well-known bands. They were basically bands from Sheffield?
At least one was from Manchester. They were my favorite, actually, a band called Generation. They played first. And I said, if any of the next three bands are as good as that, well, I'll just be amazed because I loved them so much. And none of the others were good, but as good as that. But they were certainly fine. That was one. And this band, who were third, Dearthworms.
That's good.
They're described as Steve Albini playing with The Fall, I think.
That's all right.
That was the good. I sent you the picture of the guitar pedals. You'd think Jay Maskus was coming in. There was just a whole board of pedals there.
Oh, right. I'm looking at the photo right now. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
And the final band was three or four, all female, livid punks, and just really, really fast, cool punk, you know, just spare 2-minute songs. And they played about 8 or 10 minutes. It's brilliant, really. Yeah. When you get to your mid-30s and older, the 10-minute set is the ideal, I think.
I know. We talk about this a lot. Like, I have way more appreciation for short sets now. There's just something about them where I have more satisfaction sometimes with just a really brief set. Maybe that's why. Did we ever mention that we've gone to South by Southwest?
I think we may have mentioned it once or twice.
You know, there's so many half-hour sets there, right? That's kind of the norm, right, is like a half-hour set. It's just perfect. It's great.
Yeah, it just gives you a little sampling, and then, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was a really, really fun night. Shout out to the Lughole venue in Sheffield, which is the venue they were raising money for. Sheffield has a good music scene. It's not a huge city like Manchester or Glasgow or London, but it's big enough that it has like-minded people who are, you know, looking after the local music scene. So that's pretty cool.
That's great.
The night before, one of my absolute favorites, Half Man, Half Biscuit were playing at the Sheffield Leadmill, another legendary British venue. And they're just so great. They've been going since the early 1980s. You think they'd be perhaps a little bit jaded, aren't they, just doing the circuit now, just going through the motions, but it's completely the opposite. They're so good. The best pub rock band in the world, but with no shadow of a doubt. Just wonderful.
I think you already said this, that they're never going to play in the United States, right?
I think it's guaranteed, yeah.
That's
However,
too bad.
They do announce their UK gigs 6 to 8 months in advance.
Yeah.
Which is long enough for you, if you were thinking of coming anyway, you could easily build a trip around seeing them. So that's kind of helpful.
Well, you'll let me know, right?
And they do play in Edinburgh and Glasgow, so that,
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure I still would never have heard of them if not for you, And I really liked that latest album. It was great.
Yeah, this was just the gig was more of what I've come to expect from them. The banter between the songs is irreverent and ridiculous and funny. And then, they just played, I don't know, they always play 2 hours.
Wow.
The opposite of what we were saying before about.
Yeah.
But somehow, my friend Jack came with me, and I was a little bit nervous what he would think of it all. And 2 hours is a long time if it's first time you're seeing a band and you're going along just to see what it's like,
Absolutely, right, yeah.
But he enjoyed it and said it didn't feel that long after all, so that was very good.
Great.
And then, I'm sorry, Eric, sorry, listeners, this is the last one now. Well, I was in America recently and took a chance to go to the Music Hall of Williamsburg, which is another cool venue. And there, I was blown away by this. Aldous Harding from New Zealand.
Yeah, you spoke very highly of that performance.
Yeah, I think if I'd been with a group of friends and we had a dinner together and a few beers, then come on, let's go down to the show, go rolling in. I don't think it would suit that at all. But I was on my own. I was obviously on a work trip, so I didn't know anyone there. Yes, I had something to eat and a drink, but then I went down there. It wasn't a social atmosphere. Just stood quietly in the back and observed things. And Aldous Harding is perfect for that. She's just wonderful. Wonderful songwriting, so charming, a little bit inane, enigmatic, mysterious, I guess, or like something from another world in a way. And I just thought it was absolutely brilliant. And the crowd was so quiet, which you need for that kind of music, really.
Yeah. That's I'm always fascinated about how an artist who's pretty quiet on the recording, how will they translate to the live, you know, a live setting that is usually more for louder performers, right?
Yeah, and so, a party kind of atmosphere, yeah. Really. Live music, I think, is about, you know, yeah, usually lively, isn't it?
Right. But that's cool. That's really great to hear.
Yeah, strongly recommended. I think she, well, I don't know. I was going to make one of those stupid remarks. No, I'm not going to say it. Strongly recommended.
Great. If she beat out Half Man, Half Biscuit, that's pretty impressive. They'd probably be offended. But no, maybe they're cool people. They'd be all right with it.
I'm sure they would be a fan of hers. She's pretty cool.
Great. Well, that's pretty good. If we can get that many live reports every time we have you on, that's like your contract would probably be renewed again.
Yeah, I'm going to have a rest now.
I'm encouraged. Yeah. I think there was... Did I tell this story on the podcast about my total failure of the live show that I'm not going to? So
Jason?
No, I still might go to that one. That one's tonight. I have not failed yet.
Okay, that's good.
I'm a little above 50% on that. I think I'm going to try to go to that one. As we record this, Jason is playing in Madison in about 4 hours. So, yeah. I'm hoping to go to that. No, here's what happened. I was so excited when I saw that Big Thief and Pale Hound were coming to town that I went out and bought tickets like 4 months ago.
As you would. Sensible decision.
Not realizing that I had already made plans to go out of town for my annual football game trip with my friends. It's the same weekend. So I'm sad. I'm going to miss that gig, but... Chris, being the charitable person that he is, he decided to take the tickets off my hands. I believe Barrett is going to go with Chris, so we'll get a report. Chris told me that he's really getting into the Pale Hound album in anticipation of this show, and I really like that Pale Hound album too. So it's a pretty good double gig. They're playing at the Arena Rock venue, the Sylvie, and it's funny because when they booked that show. It was even before Big Thief now has two releases this year that are both getting like big critic responses, and I don't even think the first one was out yet. So somehow, how do they figure out that a band is going to be popular enough to play a big venue? I have no idea how they forecasted that one.
I think in the UK, after only their first album, so this has been their second and third releases this year, right?
Yeah, well, I think
they're popular here just off the back of the last of the first album they did. Was it the second one?
I think this is the third and the fourth that they just put out.
Yeah,
and the singer Adrian Lenker put out a solo album like a year ago too. So they've been super prolific.
Prolific, yeah.
But anyway, I hope it's great, and I don't think it's going to sell out, but hopefully it'll be a good crowd. And we'll have to get a live report from Baird and Chris.
Yeah, at a minimum.
Yep. I have a bad history of that. There have been quite a few shows that I've missed with either screwing up the ticket buying or just happening to have a conflict. I missed The Who that way. I was going to go see The Who on their 50th anniversary tour, and then some conflict came up, and but Barrett and Wilson ended up going to that. So at least we're making... you know, good use of the tickets when I do these screw ups. So those are my non live reports. So, all right. That's pretty good. Oh, short mailbag. Last week, when we recorded with Nicholas, we got to the end and Nicholas gave the code word, code phrase, which was, sparkling milkshake. And I immediately said, well, of course, Jason is going to get that, so it's not really a fair competition. And so, of course, like I think yesterday or the day before, Jason tweeted out sparkling milkshake. Yep, he gets it. But also, it wasn't only Jason, but our good friend Greg from New Hampshire sent us a note, and the note said, sparkling milkshake. Sparkly milkshake.
Good man, Greg.
Yep. And then he also said, this is very short and to the point, Nicholas is the best. Nobody else writes poems. So there you go.
That's kind of a poem in its own way.
It is. Yeah. You read that? It looks kind of poetic in itself. So
nobody writes poems apart from Nicholas and Greg from New Hampshire.
Right. yeah. All right. To the featured bands now.
Oh, we have some recorded music to discuss.
We do.
We were done.
Yeah, like the recorded music is the
the main part of the podcast. Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, Kills Birds. It sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? It sounds like these are mean people, because who would do that? But the band is called Kills Birds. I did read an interview where one of them said, you know, it's just a lyric from one of our songs, but we're not terrible people. So, they're from Los Angeles. And before we listen to any of the music, let's just do a little, I'll make a little commentary. And David and I were talking about this, how bands that move to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom, compare them to bands who move to Los Angeles for indie rock stardom, and the recordings are always really different, because the LA recordings always sound so much more polished and like studio sounding. And we agreed on that. So I don't know if you've thought about that, but this is from Los Angeles, and it sounds like a big studio production, I think. But pretty much in a good way, I think, because it sort of accentuates the features of the band. So, this is 9 songs and 26 minutes. So that's like straight to the point, right?
Yeah. It's the kind of thing we like.
And I can't decide what to start with, so I'm going to let you take the first pick.
Well, I'm reluctant to do this, but for sentimental reasons, I got on nostalgia, which we must resist the urge to succumb to nostalgia, but we were driving around in Madison.
Yeah.
And you were driving us down to the microbrewery where we played shuffleboard.
Right.
And you put this on the stereo, and I said, this is wonderful. All the album is as good as this, this is my new favorite band. So let's have track one, the first song you played, Worthy Girl.
This flower kills birds. When she dies, she rots like flesh. This flower kills birds. When she dies, she rots like flesh. How can she be queen when she can't read maps? How can she be queen? Will you water her plants? Bang, 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 worthy girl, bang, bang, to my heart. To my heart, bang, ma, 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 ma. She won't be the one to make a stop.
kills birds. Yeah.
Where did he go? Pretty rocking stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's totally up my alley. Apparently yours too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, not so aggressive that it's scary, but aggressive enough that it's exciting.
Right. That's pretty good. Yeah. A lot of good dynamics. All the components fit together really well. And
I think she's very good. Well, I was going to say front person, but you don't know that until you see them live. But I think her vocals and singing kind of definitely add a dynamic to the band.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I was going to say, haven't really heard a whole lot about them. They have very few tour dates, but they got to have something planned, right? I think we'll see them get out playing some gigs and stuff in the near future. Sure hope so. So
yes, they have 265 Facebook likes or fans. It's amazingly low.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know, really. Strange. But I think that's going to grow.
Yeah, certainly should. I like this enough that I find it's really hard to pick a track. There are 9, and I could easily consider at least 7 of them. And the whole thing is just pretty good. Why don't we, I'll go with number 6, Only Yellow. Yeah. So, you know, after you heard the first one, which had a sort of a, I don't know, totally different pacing, right? And then that one, they just we're just going to rock out.
Yeah, that's more, a little bit slowed down a little, but still rocking.
Yep. It makes me want to turn it up loud and smile. So what else can you ask for?
Yeah, it's fun. It reminds me of a band. Well, I found out about them in the 2000s, but I think it was a little bit earlier, from the UK, called K. And they had one album, I think, Nature Creates Freaks. And they, similar, female-fronted. Sadly, the singer has passed away a few years ago now. Female-fronted, pre-rocking band. And those crunching guitars which come in. Now I've said that, I bet we can't find a song which which has them. But there are some crunching guitars on this album.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, and I'd never heard of that band K either, and you just told me about them earlier today. I listened a little bit, and that's definitely a point of reference.
Yeah, well, you can tell me if I'm supposed to be the music journalist. That's why you pay me so much money to be here. But
right,
maybe am I being a little bit straightforward and simple? When I hear a band like this, I just think of Courtney Love and Hole, and the late '90s female fronted rock bands. Is that correct, or is there more to it? I don't know much more about the genre than that. There's, should we reach for Hole straight away, or is that right? I don't know.
I think that's a definitely fair comparison.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And I didn't like everything of, you know, that 90s, I don't know, I guess Hole and the whole, the bands like them in that general era, I kind of liked and maybe didn't always love. But for some reason, I think this album hits the right parts of that and doesn't really sound like a lot of stuff you hear these days. And I think it's great. So do you have another track?
I am down to four that I could pick from. Well, I don't know. This was my immediate favorite, having listened to it all the way through for the first time. So let's go with that one. But rest assured, there are others. I think the listeners should definitely check this out, because there are some other good stuff too. Track four, Volcano.
Here we go.
Sitting underneath the sea. I wish I was tornado, but I guess I'm just some Play-Doh, when I'm played out like a campy B movie. You told me I was pretty, but that you could never touch me, cause to touch me would mean you would have to feel. And I never felt so lucky when you said that you could love me, but to love me would make all that is too real. Volcano. To the beach. I wish I was a lamb, but I guess I'm just a tramp, and I'll take whatever love you're gonna give me. I said that I was tough, but I think I made it up, cause there's nothing more that I would rather do. Hold me by the hand, and I hope you understand that all I wanna do is mend with you. Volcano! Volcano! I wish I was the water, but I guess I'm just the earth, and I'm packed and tight instead of overflowing. I wish I was a glacier, but I guess I'm just a nice book, and my better half is underneath the sea. I wish that you could see just how much you're killing me, cause I'm turning on the floor with all this heat. I think my heart is broken and I'm tired of this funk. That's it! I'm done! You've had enough of me, Volcano!
I had to let it play a little longer for that stop-start thing is so great.
It's great. The lyrics are great. The drumming is great. I have an anecdote about drumming in a minute. And then, like, she's getting more and more, I don't know, what do you say? Not anxious, really. Angst-ridden, maybe. As the song goes on, she's getting more and more frustrated, and she just boils over. It's brilliant. It's theater. It's pure theater.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, so I said the drumming was good, but I don't know. I was at a music festival a few years ago, and I met a guy there. He was a friend of a friend, and he was if there is such a thing, he was a classically trained drummer. He was level 8, which is the highest grade of drumming you could possibly be. So he said, I know a bit about drumming. And I said, I really appreciate a good drummer too. So let's watch a few bands together at the festival, and you could... And then we'll say, give the marks out of 10 each, and then we'll come together at the end and we'll say what we thought about it. And we'll see whether my uninformed assessment is as accurate as his fully informed assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched the first band that we were going to do this with. And we finished, and I said, oh, the drummer was absolutely amazing. So he was so fast, and he's hitting all the things. And it was just exciting. The hair was everywhere. I'm going to give him 10. And this the drummer said... The professional drummer who knew what he was, said, that is the worst drummer I have ever seen. I'm giving him 0. So we didn't do any more of the experiment after that, but it shows I don't know what I'm talking about anyway.
But it's cool because that says something about how the drummer has a real effect on the overall sound. And I hate to bring up Dave Grohl because that's just, we shouldn't, because he's so over publicized, you know. But when right after Nirvana broke up and Foo Fighters started, so when would that have been? You know, 1992 or something? I don't know. Long time ago.
Later than that.
So I remember the very first Foo Fighters album, and I remember the drums being really remarkable, how they were just kind of reckless and raw. And of course, now if you listen to Foo Fighters now, it sounds like it was made by a machine, because the band is sort of too perfect, I think, and like too tight, and it actually reduces their appeal. But back then, the drumming was it was a little off. I remember a friend telling me, like, I don't like the drumming. It's off, you know. But there was something about it, the way it was sort of just rushed and reckless, that made it sound really cool. So that seems like the kind of drums that, you know, a music fan might say, that's really cool. And a really trained drummer might say, geez, this guy's not good at all.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's fine, isn't it? You know, you can appreciate different things. But I think a genuine music, it's nice. The kind of indie pop music that I like, if the percussion is clattering around, like driving the band forward, and it sounds like it's on the inch of falling to pieces.
Right, right.
And then, talking of which, we're going to talk about a band that are a little bit chaotic next, I think.
Well, I think we're ready for the transition, aren't we?
Yeah, that was one of the greatest segues on the podcast.
Right. Indie rock veterans. You know, there are probably still some listeners to our podcast who just haven't followed this band or wouldn't remember them, but we're going to refocus people on the band Comet Gain. And I've liked them for, you know, two or three albums, but I think you kind of even have a longer history with them.
I think maybe the same length history, but I went back. They became one of my favorites, and so I went back to the bit that I missed. I think that would be a fairer way of describing.
And you've been talking about this album, you know, a month before it came out, so you should definitely take the intro here.
Okay, Comet Gain are a band of underdogs from London. I think I must have given the introduction to them before on the podcast, but anyway, the first album was 1995. This is their eighth album, 24 years later. They're kind of, this has gone back a little bit. That first one was the same sort of era as Monster, REM, kind of the fuzziness. When a little bit post-grunge, when indie said, well, we have to be a little bit fuzzy now. And there was some good stuff around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And this has gone back a little bit to that. It's kind of energetic, a little bit less contemplative than some of their recent records. I think it's good. And with time, it might stand up amongst their better ones. And I said they're underdogs, really. They don't do any promotion. They hardly ever play live, like 5 gigs in the last 3 years or something like that. I guess they're veterans, probably in the twilight of their career. I actually thought they'd quit, but it was a temporary hiatus, and they're back, which is good. So let's play some of the songs from this.
Yeah, the new album is called Fire Raisers Forever, and for part of it, they're really pissed off, and other parts of it, they're kind of sweet and nostalgic, right? Kind of mixes the two, jumbles them all together into an interesting whole.
Yeah, nostalgia is definitely a word that you'd associate with Comet Gain, and not necessarily being pissed off, having sympathies with the underdog and how society's put them down tends to be one of their themes. That comes up a few times on here.
Yep. So, what should we start with?
Well, I went first last time. Why didn't you have the first pick?
Okay, if you're going to make me. I think I told you, just the first time through, I was just so impressed with the vibe of it. And I tend to fall for the sweet ones a little bit more, the nostalgic ones. But as I went through it, I'm just like, wow, this has several highlights. But I think probably the one that caught me the most would be the one right in the middle, number six, The Godfrey Brothers.
Yeah.
jacket, jacket, hearts never quite filled. Sweet wee county choir boys, a dumb angel and a rippy road stone. Two obsessed gold varnished cowboys, I guess we'll never make it. I guess we'll never know whether it was worth it all, the ribbons and the bows. And I was the first brother to die. I guess too late to be recognized. I wanna be loved. I wanna be free. So pin your teenage heart to me. In a West Hampstead room, I fight the gloom with 500 Beach Boys bootlegs. All of them, they think that we're strange, working upstairs in the record tape exchange. I guess we'll never make it. I guess we'll never know. Did we sing for scented scarves and imagine girls? And I was the second brother to die. So please play the beautiful music. I wanna be true. I wanna move you. I'll pin my teenage heart to you. For Godfrey Brothers to be remembered at all.
The Godfrey Brothers. So maybe you knew who they were. I had to do music journalism to figure out who the Godfrey Brothers were.
I did not. You can fill me in now.
So when I first heard those lyrics, I thought, okay, is that like his first band they ever played in or something called the Godfrey Brothers? But the Godfrey Brothers were two real people who had pseudonyms, and one was Nicky Sudden, and His brother's performing name was Epic Soundtracks, which I had never heard before. But I'd heard of Nicky Sudden before, and they had a band called Swell Maps.
Oh.
Epic Soundtracks, who was one of the Godfreys, died in I think the late 90s, and then Nicky Sudden died in 2006. So. Yeah, so it's a nostalgic song about the Godfrey Brothers.
My God, well, I was going to say, what a great song, but that makes it even more poignant.
It is, and it's, yeah.
Imagine singing that. I think certainly the band had respect, Comet Gain had respect for Spell Maps, if they're not friends. So that's really, imagine singing that song and having known the people.
Right, and yeah, doesn't it just has this great, sweet, nostalgic feel to it? It's just... It's great.
Yeah, so really, that is a really good one. That's on my. That's a classic. If the listeners are still here with us and wanting to know what Comet Gain are like, that's an absolute classic of what they sound like. Typical.
Right. Well,
you're gonna make me pick one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Try to top that one.
Well, if there's a song and an album with a title like this, I just have to pick. But I did have a feature of the band is the backing vocals, and I hope we're going to find at least one song that has a male female. But I don't know if my one does, but as I said, it's just the title makes me pick this. Track two. The Girl with the Melted Mind and Her Fear of the Open Door.
Your hands are on your head, the wrong song.
Comet Gain. Yeah, it's good that you picked that. It's one of the more rockin' songs.
Yeah, that kind of fuzziness that I was kind of trying to describe earlier. And there was a little bit of a female vocal in there, so I think I kind of satisfied that.
And something that I should have asked earlier, but you were already talking about how few gigs they play, which gives rise to the obvious question, have you seen them live?
I saw them with Barrett a couple of years ago.
Oh, you mentioned that already. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, even more unlikely, I suppose, that they're going to play in the United States. Maybe South by Southwest. How about that?
They have played New York Pop Fest and Primavera Festival in Barcelona, even since I've been following them. And I think they have been to the States other times, apart from that. Hmm. Now, and I've seen them more than 10 times. I was counting up. I only know because I didn't know that, but I was counting yesterday, just reminiscing about the times I've seen them and times I haven't.
Oh, wow.
They're kind of, well, I can go another anecdote here. The first time I saw The Pains of Being Pure at Heart, who are one of my all-time favorites, in London, I met with my friend there at the gig. And he said, oh, you should have come yesterday. Comet Gain supported. Or they supported Comet Gain or whatever. And I said, who the hell is Comet Gain? I haven't heard of this band, Comet Gain. He said, oh, they're the most shambolic, chaotic indie pop rockers. You know, they've been going for years. You must see them. And that was really the start of it all for me.
That's cool.
Saw them a few months later. Pains of Being Pure at Heart and Comet Gain. What a great pairing that would be.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. I have to make a pick now, don't I?
Yeah, it's your turn.
I don't know how well this is going to do the female vocal thing because I can't remember. It's just a song that I liked, so we're going to play it. That's a good enough reason, right? It's good, so I'm going to play it. Number 10, her 33rd Perfect Goodbye.
You glued your hopes onto a sunset that never came. Only you know the weak silhouette that you follow. Did you get a mournful knock on the door from all the debris you don't think of anymore? And when you dance in your small room, you dance with a soft ghost wind that rolls around your spine like a valentine, the murmured threads of all the lives you led. You barely hear the alarm, you hardly lift a limb. The world watches you as you vanish. Your eyes circle like smoke rings. You're a paperweight in the ocean, a postcard sent to heaven. A serenade to the dungeon, the sweet hope you thought forgotten. Why don't you dance and fake some danger? Live for a day like a New York dancer. Why not be Paris? Why not be Venice? A small gray town.
Comet Gain.
Another sweet one.
Yeah. The album was called Fire Razors Forever. I was thinking, we talked about how like slightly off drums can be, you know, better actually in our minds. And this is another example, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but a band where the singers are sometimes just a little bit off key, and it's even it makes it better because it's if there's something kind of affecting about somebody like not quite hitting the note. I think that you could play this for like a trained vocalist and they'd be like, well, the singer's not very good, he didn't hit that note.
And
I think it's great. And we kind of did not give proper credit to the woman vocalist, because she's great, right? I mean, that part of the whole character of the band is the male female vocals.
Yeah, I think that's one of their best features, and that's one of their best, when they have the call and response or the harmonies, or even when she leads the song.
Right. So anyway, the listeners will have to just listen to the rest of it, right?
And go back. There's some great albums there.
Yeah.
Through the 90s. This is the 8th one, as I said. So.
Yep. All right. We could stop now because we're up to greater than $0, in my opinion. But we do have a bonus band, and I think, you know, it's kind of worth having like a little quick mention of this one, right?
Yeah, I don't see how else we're going to fit it in. There's so much music, so let's... You kind of have to pack as much as possible in order to make space next week.
Right. We're gonna forge ahead and talk about the EP by Bodega. 7 songs, 15 and a half minutes. It's called Shiny New Model. And, I should probably talk about this because they were my number one album last year. And they were, you know, it was a kind of a log jam where I had like 7 albums, and I really just couldn't pick one. And I thought, oh, this one's great. We'll go with Bodega. I like their character. You know, I like their whole vibe, and they're a fun band. So they put out this kind of mini album thing, and I think it's pretty much in the character of their album last year. Probably not quite on that level, but, you know, it's reasonable. So maybe we can talk a little more, but let's play a track. Probably the easy pick is number 4, Knife on the Platter.
Lies and actress at the stage, full of contempt, contemplative, exhausted and betrayed. She is always rehearsing. Secret, she said, I have no use for you. History will laugh at your lazy hip smug fatalism. She had knife on the platter. Knife, 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 knife on the platter. She said tonight the jar doesn't matter. Mind over matter. Knife, 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 knife. She reveals the truths and cliché. Hits her mark by the candelabra.
Bodega.
Yeah, I think it's retained that. That's how I would. I kind of think of them having a pop sensibility almost, and I think this EP has just carried that over from the album. That's how I think of the band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just accessibility and fun, really.
Yeah, kind of punchy and really rhythmic, and I like it. I think they're a Brooklyn band, right? They didn't. In fact, they might even. I didn't even hear about them moving to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom. They're just from Brooklyn.
They're just there. Yeah. That's how cool they are.
Right. It's even cooler, than moving there. Probably live in, like, David's backyard.
Yeah, David's obviously going to be good friends with them.
Yeah, you'd think so. So, well, why don't we just play one more so the pressure is on you now.
Yeah, well, I have an absolute... I have a stand-up. It kind of... It veers off towards the end of the EP. You've got these two weird little tracks, Domesticated Animal and Realism.
Mm-hmm.
Which go both like 1.5 minutes and a minute or something like that. And then there's a different version of a song that's on the album. Do I have to give the name? Well, you can take my word for it. But I was actually going to pick... I didn't think 4 was the standout. I actually thought track 2 was the standout. Treasures of the Ancient World.
Bodega. Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah, Truth Is Not Punishment was the one. It's the last track on the album, Endless Scroll, and it's also the last track on the EP, Shiny New Model. You read into that what you will.
Yeah. They had a couple of gigs that they... I was trying to see what live shows they have coming up, and there were a couple that had like a big X through them and said canceled. And I thought, uh-oh, is there trouble with the band? But then the Twitter feed looked like everything was cool. So there, that's my social media journalism.
I think it's okay. Yeah, certainly recently they were fine. The guy, guitarist Madison, has got his band The Wants, where he's the front guy. They're very angular, kind of David Byrne-esque, Talking Heads-esque, angular stuff. So that's another good one to watch out for.
Huh, good. All right, we'll look for more Bodega, right?
Yeah. Come on, we need a second full album now. Don't tease us with this EP.
Right, right. They should have a, let's see, what would that forecast? Maybe in about 4 or 5 months, maybe? A whole album? Hard to say.
Maybe. Hard yeah, say. 12 months maybe.
Yeah, it could be a year. It could be they're just kind of tiding it over. So.
Yeah.
All right, greater than $0, and it's now midnight your time. So you are totally dedicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to give you credit. It's pretty good.
I have to phone someone in Vietnam at 9 a.m. Oh, well.
Well, 9
there's many times people have had to do that. They're in a worse position than I am. So.
Yeah, it gives you some time to sleep.
yeah, just about.
And then when you, if you tell them that, you know, you had a long night of podcasting last night, you know, they'll think you're cool, right?
Well, I kind of respect the white man who didn't start a podcast.
Right.
Do you remember that tweet? Was that from our favorite? No, I don't know who that was from, actually. It was quite funny.
No, I remember seeing that, and I can't remember where it came from.
I really admire the white terrible. Man who did not start a podcast.
Right. Oh, God, it's terrible.
Well, we mustn't say... No, I certainly don't belittle that opinion. I respect that opinion very much. You have to be careful what you say these days.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, very good. Totally good. I don't know what we're doing next week, but I know we'll probably have a podcast, so it's unpredictable, but it'll be good as it always is, right? Top quality entertainment, $0. Yep.
Do we have to give the key word to see if Greg from New Hampshire's still listening.
Should we do one every week now? Do you have
I
one
can't believe
mind?
Anyone's made it through this with all my anecdotes and live reports.
Yeah.
Let's say, this is just some notes I have in my music journalism. I've got serious slow build. If anyone can tweet us that.
Okay.
There'll be a prize from Ipswich coming their way.
Serious slow build.
There you go.
All right. And I just we're just finishing up in time for a band practice Grant has going on here. Let's try to tune in a little bit here. Good bass and drums, right?
Are they in the basement?
Yeah, they're in the basement. I think he's practicing with three different bands in 3 days this week. I said just join as many bands as you can, and then maybe one of them will get popular, you know.
Yeah, that was the approach. Oh, we didn't say the producer of the Comet Gain album was our friend James Hoare from Veronica Falls and Proper Ornaments and Ultimate Painting.
Oh, that's cool. That's good.
Yeah. So that was his approach. Anyway, just join as many bands as you can, and one of them might succeed.
Surround yourself with the cool people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Very good. Let's sign off and let Craig sleep. So we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.